我要去告诉别人他们不知道的事情，给别人看他们看不到的东西。
从今天开始，我们每一个人每一天呢，都要轮流找一点时间来跟伯伯讲讲话，这样子他才可以早点醒过来哦。
Hi and welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
So we're here to continue to do something that we haven't done for probably around 2 years of this podcast, in which we start to look at other filmmakers that we've not really seen a lot of work from, that we've heard great things or are interested to find out more about. And this time around, I wanted us to take a look at Edward Yang, a Chinese filmmaker who became part of the Taiwanese New Wave. And we have four films of him we're going to be talking about over the next 2 months. And we are here today to discuss his 2000 film, Yi Yi, which is a story of a Taipei family who all throughout the family are having doubts and need to reconcile things that are going on in their lives. And looking back at their pasts, looking towards their futures, and having very interesting other stories to talk about with themselves. And I found it interesting to see this movie now, because this movie in every way felt to me like a more serious, straightforward version of American Beauty that we talked about a couple weeks ago, in that it's this entire family of people just concerned. It starts with the patriarch, whose name I can only say is NJ.
Who, the patriarchy!
And his mother-in-law is now fallen ill. His brother just had a wedding to a woman who was obviously expecting, as they were going to get married, and there are many, many comments about this. And then he has a younger son, a daughter, and a wife, and each and every one of these people throughout this entire family have a journey of just uncertainty and reflection and going on throughout this film. Now, this is what I will say about this film to start, is that I feel like this is a film where I enjoyed a good amount of the character and the story going around characters throughout this movie. But at the same time, this is a movie that I feel I would need extra effort to come back to at some point. And it's not just because this is a 3 hour long film. I think it's mainly because while I enjoyed a lot of the stories, like for example, the younger son, Yang Yang, who is being bullied at school, and oh, I almost wanted to screen cap some of the earlier thing bullying going on around him with the girls being like, don't mess with little girls and shit, because I found that shit hilarious. But the path that he ends up taking of just being almost the magical girl in like a rom-com of today, where he just kind of brings up interesting ideas that the father would have never thought of, but it's not done in a way where it feels silly. It sort of just happens, and it's almost as a way to shake people out of their own nostalgia. As you can see NJ having his thing with his previous love and his work story that's going on, or even his sister who is having this whole thing with the neighbor and and her boyfriend at the same time, like all sorts of these stories going on at the same time. I think I like this movie because it felt to me like what it was wasn't a movie where I was going into these stories looking for gems. It felt like a movie where it was the equivalent of this filmmaker giving me what would have been a family portrait if he were a painter, where he's like, now I'm going to paint in all these crevices of what makes these people. And in every step of these stories, I felt like I learned more about these people and I kind of enjoyed spending the time with them. But it'd be a hard sell to come back to. Douglas, you say that you've not finished this movie?
So, okay. First of all, I'd like to introduce this film. Fuck this movie. No, let's move on. So, I watched a feature-length film late Sunday night. Or was it Monday night? No, Sunday. Monday night. Late last night. Only to find out there was another feature-length film left. This movie's 3 hours long, guys. 3 hours long. Holy shit. But let's start from the beginning and end with the end. And by the beginning, I mean the middle of this goddamn movie, or close three quarters way through. There was a conversation in this film, and it was so self-referential that I felt the obligation to write it down and read it here on this podcast. So, there's a fellow, and all I can, I don't know his name. I'm going to call him by neighbor boyfriend.
Right.
Right?
Fatso.
Yes, that's right. They did call him Fat. So, all right. Fat neighbor boyfriend, right? Mm-hmm. So, Fat Body neighbor boyfriend is took out Ting Ting. And by the way, that's another thing. I imagine this is a thing, right? But I found it funny that everybody was... There was Ting Ting, Min Min, Yang Yang.
That's the end of it. There was no one else.
there were a few nicknames like that, right? And I thought that was funny. But anyway, back to this. So Fat Neighbor Boyfriend says to Ting Ting, movies are so lifelike, because they just came from watching a movie and she was saying, oh, it, you know, wasn't so hot and whatever they were talking about it. He says, movies are so lifelike. That's why we love them. Which is what I feel like everybody who loves this movie will say about this movie. And then she responds with exactly what everybody should respond with. Then who needs this fucking movie? Just stay at home and live life. I agree 100% with Ting Ting. Ting Ting
is your creature.
My creature. She is the most prophetic part of this movie. She assessed the movie. She knew she was in it. She said, I see what's happening here. You're trying to make this movie just like life, just boring and you know, things happen, and that's what the movie is, and I am supposed to decide that I love it because it is art, it is cinema.
Douglas, the movie, it starts with life. It starts at a wedding. The wife is already the bride-to-be is already pregnant.
No, listen, there are a lot of moments, I will grant you that. Ends. Right? Damn, and I know Douglas. You are chatting shit right now, right? But by the way, you touched on a really good moment, because there are some good moments in this movie.
That woman being like, I should have married him. Yes. I'm so sorry. Like, I feel like this movie has, as you say, a lot of great moments. It's just a really long movie to get all those moments from.
Yeah. And also, so I took notes. Damon was making fun of me that, oh, you haven't watched this movie. And I will admit, I haven't watched all this movie.
Yeah,
I,
so you haven't watched a movie.
I am now 2 to 2.5 hours in, somewhere around there.
I only have one question for you before you continue.
Yeah.
Do you have any true interest in completing?
I will complete if only to prove to myself that this movie did not pull an LVT.
That is a lie.
This movie does not find a way to pull what I suppose that he would call threads that he placed in this movie into one cohesive, coherent thing that makes me actually see some value in it, which I don't at the moment.
That is a lie.
So this, the funniest thing is that was my last note, but it was my most important note, and I put it up top. Would you like to know what the first thing I actually wrote about this movie was?
I'm afraid. Go ahead.
The first thing I wrote was, this is not a movie. Right? So the thing about this movie, right? And I got really excited about it very quickly because it's the type of, or it looks like the type of storytelling that I know I have come to love. And I think at least in bits and pieces, you guys also have some level of time for, right? So at first, it looked very, you know, Linklater-ish, very Before-ish, very, it looked like it could be that. And let me tell you why, right? So think about, and this is an example of the bad version of it, but it still is deeply rooted in that kind of storytelling, obviously, because it's a Linklater film. Think about Boyhood, right? I know, neither do I, unfortunately. I mean, this man created a 12-year opus and it was trash. But this actually reminds me quite a bit of Boyhood, right? And also, there is a point where I said, aha, I know what this movie is going to be, and that movie is going to be fantastic. So let's talk about this movie. This movie starts, actually a very exciting, very eventful scene, which is pretty cool, with a wedding of some fella and a pregnant lady. And there is some other random lady that shows up and says, grandma, and we all assume, and you find out that she is the grandmother of the groom. Grandma, I'm so sorry. I know I should have married your grandson, but whatever, whatever. And she's bawling. And you know what, Damian? I believe that you laughed at that scene. I believed you and I got the same sort of shitty, childish, assholish enjoyment out of that scene. Right? Yes. Okay. Especially because it was a start and we had no reason to decide that this was already bad.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right.
It started strong.
Started strong. It got into a few things, right? But it didn't get bad quite yet. One thing that happened, which is where I said, aha, this is good Linklater, or could be, is at the end of the ceremony, or a part of the ceremony, a fellow, one of the relatives, takes his son, his very young son, who, by the way, if there is anybody that could steal this movie, that son stole this movie, right? If there is any redeeming element about this movie, any one thing that I could say, maybe there is a consideration for teams playing hard, would be that little boy, right? I love him. He is the greatest. And that fucking teacher, if I see him on the street, he better walk on the other side of the road.
That teacher was great.
Yeah, that teacher was good too. But it was the boy that made me hate the teacher, and I love the boy, right? So back to it. This guy is taking his son, I guess, to home or somewhere to sleep or whatever, and he's going up in the elevator. And it's almost like a comedy of errors where he keeps trying to go up on the elevator, but something keeps distracting him. And at one stage, a woman shows up. And you can see it's like his breath, both of their breaths are taken away. And they say that they haven't seen each other in 30 years. It's clear that there is a deep connection there. And Damien is showing the international sign for fucking right now with his hands.
Yep.
Because he is a child. And I am enjoying it because I too am a child. But so these two people are seeing each other for the first time. And it's also as the conversation goes on. And he does this thing where they actually don't converse for most of the scene. I think another friend, like a childhood friend, shows up and starts chatting with them. And it's almost like getting information from association, information from this third party. And you get to understand that they were high school lovers and that something happened. And she even runs back and starts cussing him to say, why did you not show up on whatever day it was? Again, similar to before, where they agreed a time and somebody fucked up and they weren't there. And I hoped and I prayed, because it was obvious that this man had created a life. He has children, multiple children, at least two that I can recall. He has a wife that is very much there. He has in-laws that become a factor in this story. And he has a full life. But this woman shows up out of the blue, mm-hmm. and could be a whirlwind, could be that thing that sets off a wonderful story. Whether it is Before Sunset kind of deal, where they run off into the sunset and say, fuck the rest of this shit, I'm not catching my plane. I'm going to listen to me to some Nina Simone, and we're just going to enjoy ourselves, right? Or it could be a heart-to-heart, just talking about what happened and what you've done since and why you're both assholes. It could have been anything, right? But that was the thing that I was really looking forward to. No, that obviously didn't happen. And what made it all the more upsetting, and actually, in a way, all the more genius and expert, was that it was brushed aside so quickly and so offhandedly that you're just left behind, right? It just moves on with life. They're just like, yeah, this doesn't need to worry you right now. And they progress, they move forward to essentially say, here what? All this is going to be is a series of unfortunate events, right? It's going to be a series of, and again, I said it before, this guy will call them threads. I don't want to call them that, because outside of maybe one or two things, none of them really feel like they become a full story. Like, I know what he's trying to do, right? And other people have done this. Some have done it well, some have done it poorly, where you don't have one story that flows through. I mean, sorry, you don't have one contiguous story, right, that flows through. There are narrative through lines, but you kind of go back and forth between each of them and you kind of piece them together and hopefully it comes together, or maybe it doesn't. But at the end of the day, you've had a good time. You feel like you've lived and grown and been with these characters that you either love or hate or have some sort of strong emotional connection, which is great. Except this movie doesn't do that. This movie goes all over the place. Now, I will talk about the good things, because if I sat down and talked about the bad things, I would be here literally all night. So let's talk about the good things. I love the fuck up brother. Right?
Oh, I really so like good. Addy.
He is great.
So good.
Addy. Yes. One of the few fellas that does not have a double barrel name. Right? Addy, who is just a train wreck and is the groom from our original story, from scene number one. He is killing the game. He owes money all around town. He owes money all around the family. And he's obviously a lovable rogue, right? Because as much as, and yes, we can argue, boy, well, there is a family aspect too, where even though you hate is a strong word, but you get frustrated and can't deal with family, you always kind of, you know, you suck it up and you say, all right, listen, it's family. We need to just work this through. It doesn't seem like it's that bad. It seems, I mean, it is bad, but it seems more like, you know, somebody who you see is on the wrong path. But for one reason or another, you're just like, yeah, he's in problems, but eh, it's Addie. You know? Even to the extent where he is. So he has this wife who he's gotten pregnant, and obviously that was the instigator in the marriage. And the lady who was crying and bawling to grandma is obviously the lady he was with when he got the young wife pregnant.
But he still waited 8 months so that he could get married on the lucky day.
Yep, he still waited 8 months so he could get married on the lucky day. He, at various points in this movie, is either with or not with young new pregnant wife. He is, at various points in the movie, still with, and still kind of with, there I don't think is really or not with, the old flame.
Right.
And weirdly, there's a scene where it's obvious he's been kicked out by the new wife. He first goes to his brother-in-law, who we're talking about before. His name is NJ, who is the one with the family and, you know, long lost love. And this guy is in a wife beater and underpants. And he goes up, he sees NJ, and he's like, you know what? I still owe you money. Mm-mm, I can't stay here. Yeah. And runs away. And where does he end up? With his ex-fiance, girlfriend. You never really know what she was, but she was obviously a very serious relationship. And all of a sudden, cut to him being in bed with her. And I'm sorry, Andrew. If you tell me that what he was watching with her beside him about to fall asleep was not porn, you're lying.
No, that's just what they're watching in Taiwan.
Sure. Like, what the hell? Anyway.
It was a completely platonic moment.
Anyway.
I believe in the beauty of that marriage. He got married on the lucky day.
They were watching Nymphomania.
So, I mean, I'm talking too positively about this for the negative feelings I have for this movie. I really don't like this movie. But at the end of the day, let me talk about at least one of the various bad things. And this is just emblematic of the whole movie. And again, I apologize if at the end of this film, this gets resolved and makes all the sense in the world. I apologize. Because I have missed the last 30 to 45 minutes of this movie. But in the very first 50 minutes of this movie, Grandma gets a stroke. She gets very sick. Mm-hmm. She comes back home. She is bedridden. She cannot really communicate with anybody. And, you know, you're put in this place where everybody just knows you're in a bad situation. Nothing comes of that. There are a couple of scenes where I would hope so, again. But there are a couple of scenes. There was one great scene with Ting Ting again.
Have you ever seen Fast and Furious?
I may have watched a little bit of one or two of those.
So, you know that scene with the airplane on the runway?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that happens with the grandma.
I would give them this, right? There is one good scene that comes of this, which is Ting Ting. And he obviously does this very well because while Ting Ting is saying it, I kind of remember and say, oh yeah, you did forget to do that. She talks about forgetting to send out the trash. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what she was doing because they found the grandmother just lying down in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And Ting Ting in her mind is like, shit, I forgot to put out the trash. I just left it on the balcony. Mm-hmm. I wonder if she, in her old state, took out the trash, went downstairs to put it in the garbage, wherever the garbage is, and just had a problem. And she can't forgive herself for that, which that's, you know, heart-wrenching, right? That's the only good thing that comes of this. But they have all of these loose ends. This movie is just a creator of loose ends. And it pisses me off.
I mean, you didn't get to the end where they resolve all of the loose ends.
No.
That's what the end of this.
Of course it is.
That's what the 1 hour end of
that's,
this
that's
movie
what
the, is.
But, come on. That is what this movie is garbage.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. this movie ain't great.
The one redeeming factor is Yang Yang. Is he Yang Yang, right? That's his name?
Yang Yang is a little
Yang Yang. Yeah, yeah. He's great. Love him. Yeah. And this is a huge movie. I realize that I've seen the poster all over the place. People like this movie a lot. I don't like this movie.
It won awards.
Mm-hmm.
He is thought of as a visionary director.
Yep. And you can see that there's obviously, all right, guys, teams played well. He directed from a direction standpoint, directed expertly, you know, put things together. But Jesus Christ, this movie, not good. Not good at all. And, you know, the through lines, there's so much time between when you connect the dots that it's so hard. This movie, oh boy, boy, oh boy. But that irresponsible brother-in-law, mm-hmm. Addy, perfect. So Damian, you guys can continue my review, seeing as I cannot finish it.
Fair enough.
You've got 45 minutes. Go.
Nope. I won't need 45 minutes. Time for your nonsense. All right. Eddie Yang is the director of this movie. It is his 7th film. It is 19...
Seriously?
1,000 hours long. Yes. It's his 7th
movie. Really? Mm-hmm. Eddie Huang?
Eddie Huang, yes. From Fresh Off the Beach. I read up a little about this man. He was like an engineer. And then he's like, now I want to make movies. And at some point he left and moved to America. Also, some of this. Now, this is important because this movie has a wedding. It has a murder. It has a suicide attempt.
Yes.
There's a business trip to Tokyo. Uh-huh. There's a comatose granny. Mm-hmm. And there's a funeral.
Sorry, there's a murder? I missed a murder?
Wow. What this movie is if someone with talent were tasked to condense Days of Our Lives. Here's a script with Days of Our Lives is what, 80 years old? Here's a script with 50 years worth of melodrama. We'd like a movie, please. You have as much time as you want. Spend as much money as you want. And proceed. And this movie starts, and it is rambunctious. There's like a wedding, there's people screaming, and you're just like, I don't know what she's saying, but none of what she's saying is good. And you see where he enjoys, from the beginning, he enjoys putting the camera down and having people walk in and out of the scene, which is a thing I've always admired when directors do. Because while camera movement and all of those things are good and can be used for a lot of things, most of the time when there's just people talking with each other, you don't need it. You can just have them talk because I know what this is. Like, you're not fooling me that this is reality with shot on counter. I get it. And it shows a level of confidence in the thing that you're making, at least to me. What I didn't realize is that after confidence, there's another step. There's overconfidence. That is what this movie is. This movie is so supremely confident in the story that it is telling that it takes its time to tell all of them. And it is telling all of them. It is not the best story, but he sure as shit made the most story. If there, he made sure no one could come back and go, what happened to all of that? Everyone you see gets a full arc. Then he tells you all the shit that happens. And he uses the little boy to express the things that the adults, that he, the director, the little boys are standing for the director. It is a, he's there to show the audience that he's smart. Smarter than everybody. So there's a point where you see that the little boy takes a lot of photos of the backs of people. And towards the end of the movie, he hands one of the photos to the father's business partner. And the business partner is like, why is this the back of my head? Like, instead of saying to the little boy, why do you take pictures of the backs of people's head? Which is what the father saw, like a series of the pictures. I was like, I think my son is a psychopath. At least that is what, that was my reading of it. Because if I had someone take the backs of people's heads, I'd send them to prison.
No, but he told you at one point that, and again, it goes to your point about him essentially saying, I am smart.
Yeah.
He said, listen, obviously, we only see half of the world because you look in front of you, but you can't see behind you.
So, no, the little boy literally walking out of the scene says, because you can't see the back of yourself. Mm-hmm. And then just walks off and you're like, oh, you think that I think that you're clever, but you're mistaken because I am bored and would like this to end. There is one truly touching moment at the very end of the movie. I will spoil this for you. The old lady in the coma, she doesn't make it.
Oh no! Actually, that sounded bad. But yes, that was obvious.
That was a good time. At the funeral, he asks if he can speak with the grandmother. And they're like, go right ahead. And he opens his book. And he proceeds to read this section about, you know, they won't tell him. They said, like, he says, they tell me that you're gone, but no one will tell me where. And so he's going to grow up and do all these things. And it is a very pleasant, warm, long con. And it is a calculated way to, instead of wrap what this movie is, which is really a story about the father and then tangentially the other people around him, because it's mostly him and his trip and rekindling an old flame and trying to
I disagree with that, sir. No, you might tell me that maybe all of the final half hour is that trip, but that does not start until about 2 hours into the movie.
Douglas, as I said earlier, everyone gets a story. That doesn't mean everyone should. They all get it.
By the way, was it just me or when they finally, because they go to Japan, as you say, and you see the trains and you see them walking around, was it just me or did it? Because when I watched that, I immediately thought, oh, this is Miyazaki. It looks like Miyazaki.
It was just you.
I saw, obviously, Miyazaki was an exaggerated cartoonish version. But, you know, you see the trains, you see the sort of cityscape that is in those movies or can be in some of those movies. Because some of those movies can be super, you know. clouds in the sky, forests all over the place. But the ones that had cityscapes, that's what it looked like to me.
You know how the little boy who takes pictures is a psychopath?
Yes.
That is what, that's what you are. Let me rephrase.
Which Miyazaki movies in modern times?
Don't indulge to think. Him. Do not indulge lunacy.
What there's the one that was supposed to be the last one, that shitty one. And there are a couple of others where you see, I'm just seeing trains in my head, you know, and
the last one was set before World War II.
But there were trains, and the trains look like that. All right?
Okay. All right, I'll stop now. I'll stop now, Damien. Please, take this away.
I told you not to do this. All right, let me rephrase. What this movie should have been about is the fan. But that is, everyone gets their turn. Did you see the resolution between the daughter and her boyfriend? No,
I didn't get that far.
Can I just say quickly, one of the moments I actually thought, I like that you brought up the funeral scene with the son. I wasn't even thinking about, but one of the moments that I remember from this movie that I truly love, and this is probably more cinema than like sentiment, is there's the point, and Douglas had brought it up before, when they're leaving the movie theater, the daughter and Fatso. Yep. And at the same time in the movie, they're intercutting this with the father in Japan. And the father is telling the story about when he's remembering going on that date, that movie date with the lady who he's rekindling this relationship with. And the fact that he had intercut it with that moment of his now child having basically that exact same experience. I actually really like that in this movie. Like, and that to me is the highlight of the movie, is how they kind of make stories repeat again in that. And I mean, many movies have done this before, right, in that you will see the older generation always looking back to their past that they regret or they love, and the younger generation always looking forward to their future, and seeing it like put together so simply in that like 1 minute bit, like I just genuinely enjoyed that.
When you have 14 years to make a movie, things tend to repeat. The problem with this movie is that it is overindulgent. It is far, far too long. And the stories it is telling, some of them I don't need them. Like at all. Like at all. It gives me nothing. And if you're going to, if it were a TV show, you'd have gone, well, that is a bad episode. But it is not a TV show. It goes on what feels like forever. This, I don't know how or why Andrew picked this as the first one. But if Andrew went back and intercut word for word the thoughts I had about The Irishman and its runtime and its ability to bore the pants off of me by assuming that everything that comes to the director's mind is of use to telling this simple, because this story isn't so crazy or so new that you need 3 hours to tell it. All the things that happen are fairly routine things, especially in movies. While it is not routine in real life, at least I hope it isn't routine in people's lives, most movies deal with this subject matter. And this movie just, there's a point where I was confused as to whether I was closer to the movie ending, or like it felt like I must be stuck in some type of time loop where this movie, no matter how much I watch
the movie. That movie is way better than this one.
No matter how much I watch the movie, it won't end or it can't end. And
that's a student film.
Essentially. Yeah. I know I have 3 more movies to watch from this man. And this is the one with all the accolades.
Yeah, but you know, the one thing that
I'm hoping that this is like a make good.
Yeah. So,
where he was killing it for so long
that
they're just like, all right, this is his opus. And we're finally making him know that we appreciate the work that you've done for us.
Yeah, what I'll say about this movie is that is exactly what this feels like. This feels like a movie where they just said, yo, you are the greatest.
Yeah.
Do whatever you want. And yes, he got a little away with himself. But
a lot
you,
away.
Yeah. You can see that he's on a team that's playing real hard, right? He has... I want to say what a normal movie looks like from him. Like, not it's something where he's like, I intend to do... I want to see...
Where someone gives him an hour and a half and say, you have to tell one story.
Because the direction in this movie, as much as I'm bitching and moaning about it, was pretty good. And he obviously got the talent to play the part. And if you can put those two things together on a regular basis, yes, sometimes the story sucks, but sometimes the story is good. If you can get a story that's good in a reasonable amount of time, and this guy has the helm, I think you're looking at something that can be spectacular.
Maybe at the end of this, we'll be like, this one might have been.
Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, especially if it's mostly positive, right? Mm-hmm. If all of the other movies were like, oh, those movies are good.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we're going to start saying things like, you remember how that brother-in-law was so, wasn't he cute? Didn't he? Oh, look at the child.
Maybe,
you know, we're going to start thinking things like
that. He's an acquired taste. What I was saying.
He's a fine wine.
For acquired taste, both in movies and in everything else. If I cannot acquire the taste the first time, chances are it is bad. And I think this movie ain't great, and it is 3 hours long. For me, it was more like 4 hours, because once this movie ended, I went back. I wanted to know, like, I gave it a couple days and watched the final hour again to be like, if I just saw 1 hour, the end part of this movie, would it be any better?
No.
No. But we still have a couple more movies to go. I'll try and keep an open mind, because this movie didn't have, outside of its runtime and the fact that it is chaotic in terms of the storytelling, there weren't any glaring red flags where I'm just like, I don't think me and this man going to make it out at all. So I will see. Thought of as legendary in his ability to direct. So while I'm happy we're doing this, he's 0 for 1 so far. Andrew Robinson.
Yes, sir.
How much did you love this movie?
I don't think I'd go so far as love, but I loved so much about it. Like, I loved... I tend to love movies like this where... The filmmaker, as you guys like to talk about, it has a confidence. What I like is when it's not so much confidence, even though that's needed for this thing to happen. It's when a filmmaker has the willingness to let films almost breathe, where there's so many movies where you feel like the movie is just kind of taking you along this ride where he feels like he's never allowed to leave you alone. Like, he has to keep running you into something next and next and next and next. But when he has when there are movies like this, and it's not so much about the runtime, because there can be movies, I'm sure, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, there can be movies that are like 90 minutes long, but the scenes play this way, where the people are calm, they're just letting things flow, and part of it is, as you mentioned, with the camera, where you let people walk in and out of the scene. Like, you're not concerned with having the perfect editing, where at no point are you not concerned about who you're looking at. Like, the scene is actually dictating it as the actors are doing their jobs. And I love that about this movie. It kind of cues me into how I already know that I feel like I'm going to love a movie from this guy, because the directing, and this also might be the fact that this is his last movie he made, so this might be like him at the peak of that confidence. But I won't say I love this movie. I loved a lot about it, but this is one of those movies that, you know, we talk and I'd be like, it's a very interesting film, and you guys would be like, oh, that means you didn't like it. But there, I feel like there are a lot of positives from this movie. Douglas mentioned a lot as it relates to character ridiculousness. Damien, you've mentioned a lot as it relates to, like, just direction and just the ability to create scenes that are engaging. But I feel like there's more to get from this guy at this point.
I have to hope.
We have three more. We have three more to go through.
Yes.
Right. And just an FYI, since you guys are bitching about runtime, the next two are shorter. The last one is longer.
No.
I'm sorry. Longer than this?
When you say longer, you mean 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
Because if we're into three and a half, if we're into Lord of the Rings territory, man, you're going to fight.
So hold on, is it that this is like a joint China and a Danish production where Lars takes a helm? Because then maybe I'll think about it. Yo, 4 hours, wow. Alright. A marathon indeed.